All right, well, tonight we're going to look in Matthew, and I know we've been kind of walking through different passages in Matthew the last couple of months. But it has been good. But tonight we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to start with verse 35. So there's fewer of us here tonight, and obviously we've got a couple of teachers gone, and so we're all just going to stay out here tonight if you guys are okay with that. It might run a little short because I'm not quite that long-winded, so you're welcome. But what we are going to do is we're going to kind of walk through these verses, and I'll kind of go through a little bit, and then if any of you have any input or anything, you know, we can kind of just discuss that kind of like we do in our group setting, just obviously a little bit more spread out and maybe a few more of us here. And so we'll just kind of do things that way. You know, last week, does everybody remember kind of what we talked about last Wednesday? Does anybody remember? You can respond. It's okay. Nope. It was a week ago. All right, well, we were looking at something, and we were looking at what? We were talking about what different types of, right, the different types of soil, right? But what was being done, right? The seed was being sown, right? So last week we were talking about sowing seed. Does everybody at least kind of remember that much? Okay. All right. So we at least were doing that. So we're going to kind of switch gears just a little bit here in Matthew 9 and 35. And we're going to switch over and talk about the harvest. So obviously sowing, harvesting a little bit different, right? But we're going to look at that this week. So verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest." So he's telling us here that the harvest is plenteous, right? So we know that in order to get a harvest, first we had to have done the sowing, right? You had to start off with that first process before you move to the next one. So we've known that the seed's been sown, right? We talked about that last week. Some of it fell on different types of ground. But the harvest is plenteous. But we go back and start, let's go back and look at verse 35, where we started there. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So we first see that he was doing what? He was teaching and preaching the gospel, right? So he was sowing the seeds, right? He was sowing the seed. He was out there sharing the gospel with people. He was teaching them, and he was telling them everything they needed to do to be saved, to come to Christ, Lord, and how they need to live their lives, how they need to turn from their sin. And he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So we see that he was doing two things there. And, you know, I think sometimes that's important for us to notice, is that not only was he feeding them spiritually, but also physically, right? Amen. So if he's healing their sicknesses and their diseases, you know, if you're not feeling very well, you know, sometimes it might be hard to kind of get past your immediate issues, right? Kind of like we've talked about some other things. If somebody's hungry, it might be a little hard for them to hear the gospel or hear what you have to say if their stomach's growling so loud that they can't really concentrate on anything you got to say. You know, so that's important for us, I think, to recognize too. You know, we're not always going to be able to solve every situation and help every need, but there's definitely going to be opportunities for us to be able to maybe fill in a gap there for somebody to be able to be a blessing to them, so that they may be able to hear the gospel. We may be able to preach to them, right? We may be able to teach them, be able to share the gospel with them. You know, so in this portion of the scripture, just a few things I was looking at is the fact that, one, we can see for sure, and obviously we know this, but we have to care for the people who are lost, right? I mean, Jesus wasn't there just because, right? He was there because he cared about the lost people. He cared about their soul, and he cared about their spiritual condition and their physical condition, right? So he cared about the people. And so we first have to, for us, look at that and say, hey, do we first, if we just really look at ourselves, do we care about lost people? Do we want them to be saved? Do we want them to come to Christ, right? So I think so many times and too many times we as a church, and I say that broadly, you know, as a church, is that, you know, people, we've listened to messages and we've listened to lessons and we've done all this stuff, but sometimes we get cold to the fact that lost people are all around us, you know, and that we have to continue to remember and to think about that and to be caring and to think about the fact, like, listen, you know, we were all, if you're here tonight and then you're saved, you were once a lost person. Right. Somebody cared enough to share the gospel to you or to preach to you or to teach to you. You know, we want to be caring and think about those that are not only in the church, but also obviously, you know, outside of the church. There's, you know, there's so many people that are outside of this building that, you know, the only way that they're going to hear the gospel is we take it to them. So then we move to verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. So again, we see his compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So, you know, obviously, too, we've seen plenty of times in the Bible, we see the references of sheep and shepherd. And I was reading a thing just about somebody else's this was kind of somebody else's definition about sheep, and not necessarily mine, but said that sheep are dumb, dependent, and defenseless, right? So they need a shepherd, right? They need someone to take care of them. They need someone to guide them. So the Lord seeing them, and as this point of view is they're scattered abroad, right? They're everywhere. So you know, we kind of look at that and think about, you know, the lost people in our community, the lost people around us, right? They're lost, right? They're dependent on something, and a lot of times they don't know what that is, and they're looking for something, they need something, they don't know what it is, so they're wandering around. So we can kind of apply that to lost people, and they need a shepherd. So we have to, again, be compassionate on these people. We have to also realize that they are lost people. You know, we sometimes are looking for examples, and, you know, think about the fact of, you know, if there's a young kid that's just running out towards that road right there, I don't care whose it is, you know, any parent or adult in here is going to feel the need to do something, right? So, you know, the same thing when we see people, we ought to feel the same way when we know people are lost and without Christ. We want to be able to reach them. We want to be able to get to them before it's too late. And then verse 37 there, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So, for me, that always goes to a point where it says, well, it can get convicting real quick, right? Because the laborers are few. Are we, if we try to apply and try to put ourselves in there, are we a laborer? right? Could the Lord look at us and say we're laboring for Him, or we're trying to bring in the harvest for Him? Because He tells us the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So, you know, I know a lot of you. I don't have a whole lot of reference for gardening. Sarah's done a little bit of gardening the last few years. I know a little bit about it. I've seen it done, but I haven't personally done a whole lot of it. But I've seen it, and there's a time, right, for harvesting. I don't care what it is that you're growing, whether it be fruits or vegetables or whatever, right? There's going to be kind of a set time where you've got to go get that stuff. Bill Don, we were talking the other day just about blackberries, right? We were talking about some blackberries and said, well, listen, there's a certain time you got to go pick those blackberries, because if you don't, they're going to dry up. Something's going to get them. You know, they're not going to be around for very long. You know, the same thing with any other fruit, vegetable, anything like that. There's going to be kind of a set time, right, where you've got to harvest that fruit or that vegetable or whatever it may be. Otherwise, it's going to ruin. It's going to spoil. Something's going to eat it. The bugs are going to get to it. Something like that, right? You guys all agree with that, right? And so, like, I don't know what that time frame is, but what I do know, the point being that it implies for us to be, there's a sense of urgency, right? Because if you don't go and harvest that stuff soon, it's going to be too late. So for us to look at the fact that we need to be willing to be laborers, we need to be ready to harvest, and we need to do it now. We need to do it as soon as possible. We can't wait and think, well, tomorrow will be better, next week will be better. It's now. You know, and sometimes too, you know, we look around and we may not always see that the harvest is around us, right? We may not always know, because we don't know where people are at, and we don't know what's going on with folks, but we never know where, you know, maybe just a month ago, a week ago, whatever, you know, somebody had got a chance to share the gospel with somebody, and we just happened to come in at the right time. You know, that's, I think, probably most everybody in here, if you got a chance to share the gospel with somebody very much, is you maybe had an opportunity to come behind somebody else that had maybe recently been there. And, you know, we just don't know, and sometimes we can't always see that, but, you know, we don't really have to. We're just trying to do what God wants us to do, right? We're supposed to be laborers. We're supposed to be there for the harvest. And we need to, in verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So one thing I was wanting to point out here is just the fact that through these few verses that we listened to, really there's kind of only one command, and it's given right there. It says pray, right? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into harvest. So we should be spending lots of time in prayer, right, to say, listen, God, we've got to have more laborers. You know, we have to be laborers ourselves, but we also have to be praying for others to labor for him. And then from there, we just, you know, we rely on God to do what he's already said he's going to do, right? He's doing that work. We're having our part in the harvest. You know, this is we look at our world today and it's a mess. And really it's not too hard to see that we need more laborers, and that there are so many opportunities for us that get passed up on and that we probably don't take advantage of, and so many times that there's something right in front of us and we miss it. But, you know, this, we can't do it just one or two of us. You know, we think about if there was acres and acres and acres of a farm or a field that needed to be harvested and it had some type of vegetable on it, right? We couldn't just send one or two people out there and expect it to get done in a reasonable amount of time. you couldn't get done before it was too late, before that window was gone, right? So we need more laborers. We need more of us. We need more of us to consistently be compassionate about people and want to share the gospel with them. We need to constantly be realizing that there are so many lost people around us that we just need to be aware of that. We need to be just, like I said, to constantly just remind ourselves, and then we need to constantly be in prayer. We need to pray that God, one, works in us to be a laborer, and not only that, but to send more laborers to work as well. So does anybody else have any comments? Mike, I know you and Brian both are at least a little familiar with the passage. I don't know if you have anything to add that maybe that you might have brought out that I left out, but
I was just going to say verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's kind of a, yes, we are to pray that the Lord will send more, but if we are doing what we're supposed to do, that means we're going out and doing that work to bring in more laborers.
Right. Amen. Right. Right. Yeah, there's absolutely, of course, we've been talking about for a little while now, but that portion of us to go, right? We have to go, and we have to do. We have to first be out there to sow in, right, and doing that part of what he's asked us to do, so that we may, right, we may reap the harvest. We may see that happen. So we have to be willing. Absolutely. And you're exactly right. And that was something I was just seeing. I had written down here, and sorry, my notes are all over the place. I'm not good at that. So, but yeah, exactly. Because we're not doing this in our power. None of it's us, right? If we're going out and trying to reach people just in our own power, then it's not going to be very effective. So,
mm-hmm. And him actually providing for them, him healing the diseases and sicknesses. And so they, you know, one of the things with him healing that was proving who he was, that he had that power. He was who he said he was.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are to make disciples, if we're going to reach people, you're talking about feeding them if they're hungry and things of that nature. Our actions, our love for other people will show. We can't just say we're Christians and that we want you to be saved and we want to make you a disciple and not have love for them in our hearts. And they can see that, just like they can see him doing those miracles, whether they're in need of a sandwich or not. Even if they don't eat anything physically, they can see whether or not we truly care and what we love.
Mm-hmm.
And who we are.
Yeah. Well, there's, in order for us to be Christ-like, we need to be loving. We need to be compassionate towards people. So, Brian, did you have anything you wanted to?
Yeah, Yeah, it's very similar to what Mike said. You know, essentially the laborers, they sow, like we talked about last week. Somebody else comes along and waters. God gives the increase when the harvest is available. The laborers go out, they reap that harvest. Scripture says that a grain has to die before it brings forth fruit. And so that harvest, that grain, those souls, they die to themselves. But they become laborers. They become essentially the you know, planting more seeds. They become that seed. They become another plant that brings forth more fruit. And so it's a just all the farming analogies that the Bible uses. Like we're a self-replicating mm-hmm. harvest, right? And it's God. God is the one that's doing the gardening.
Right.
You know, he's the one working in all of us to become laborers. He's the one that's giving fertile ground. He's the one that's doing all of that, and we get to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good, because it's just kind of like too, and again, kind of what we've talked about over weeks, and Mike brought it up again too, but disciples making disciples. I mean, that kind of goes with that. You look at these analogies, and that's what. You know, I kind of always look at these comparisons, and I love that, because for me, I don't know about you guys, I need those kind of simple comparisons, right? And so you start thinking about plants and vegetables and all these different things that grow fruits. And well, I mean, you know, they start with a seed, right? And so the seed came from somewhere. Where did it come from? It came from another plant, right? Or it came from another fruit or vegetable, whatever that may be. So yeah, it just continues to duplicate. What else? Does anybody have anything else to add?
Just thinking about how unbelievable he is in the way that he can. If I had two or three people come to me and talk to me, I can't concentrate on who's saying what. But Jesus was able to have all these multitudes of people come, and he was analyzing and determining what was in their hearts and minds right then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he healed it, and it's done. And it's just amazing what he's, you know, which we know is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing all the things he could do. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't, because of that fact that he is so much more than we could possibly even, you know, put into words or really probably have the thoughts to kind of try to figure it out. You know, we need to rely on him more. I mean, he's there for us, right? We need to spend more time in his word. We need to spend more time in prayer, and we do those things, and he's gonna work in us, and he's gonna work through us. He's gonna use us to do all these things that we're talking about, to be better laborers for him. You know, for me, I look at this and just think at the heart of it, that's it. Like we need to, as a people, need to be more loving, more compassionate towards the lost. I think, you know, so many times, I know I'm guilty of this. You know, we look at this world that we're in, and we see all the nonsense, you know, and just, you know, sometimes it seems difficult to think, well, you know, I don't know how we can get through to this person or that person. You know, they're so wrapped up in themselves and their sin and the life, you know, that they're living or whatever that may be. And so we kind of get hardened to that. You know, we just don't really maybe care for them as much as we should. And so I know, like I said, for myself, that's an area that I'm definitely not very good at, because, like I said, it's we need to remember to be loving and compassionate toward those people. We don't have to love their sin, and we don't have to love maybe what they're doing, but we can love the person, and from there, we still preach them. We still preach the gospel to them, and then we let God do the rest. I mean, we can't change their heart. We can't do that, but God can. So it's kind of like, again, we look at all these different things about the planting and stuff. You know, we can go out, like if you're gardening, right? You can go out and plow, and you can get the dirt ready, and you can plant the seed, but ultimately, like, you can't make it grow, right? So we don't have the power to do that, but God does. What else? Anybody else? Brother Steve, go. I know you got something, because Steve usually could tell me where I'm left, and I've left it out. In a good way. I'm not saying that bad, Brother Steve. I appreciate you. Steve. He's always encouraging. I'm not trying to say that. He is. I just thought he might have something to add. Brother Tom, you got anything? Okay. Brother Terry?
I just look at, you know me, I can't keep my mouth shut. It was never so seen. It is, mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, I mean, he did some great, great things, and it always got him in trouble, too, because the next scripture there, verse 34, but the Pharisees said, he casts us out devils through the prince of the devil, but he didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was Jesus. He could, you know, he had power over. Did it to give honor and glory to the Father, because I was thinking a while ago when you first started, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost.
Mm-hmm.
That was his main purpose, and that's our purpose too, because so many times I think about, you know, we're bought with a price, we're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We're the property of Jesus. We have a great, great, great responsibility.
Amen. What else? Anybody else got anything they want to add? Well, that's all I've got tonight. I know we're a little early getting out, so I'm sorry. Okay, sorry.
I want to go ahead and call that out.
Okay. All right, thanks, Mike. Well, yeah. Well, everybody, just again, I know, you know, we've been studying these verses for, like I said, a few months. And ultimately, you know, I know sometimes, you know, we get into these different verses, and there's a lot of similarities, and we all know that for us to come back to the truth of it is for us to make disciples, for us to share the gospel, right? I mean, that's what we're to do. So that's why we continue to study these passages that are so important for us to think about, to think about this and just make it make it important to us, and make it something that that we are compassionate about, something that we have a care for the lost. And so it's important, and I hope that you hope everyone here, you know, sees that, and we continue to you know, study these verses and these passages, and again, look at these some more. Even, and I know we've talked about them tonight, but you know, read over them some more, and you know, see if there's something else there that you can gather, maybe that I missed, or just again, just continue to just to contemplate on this, the point that's here, and you know, pray for laborers, but also let's be laborers. So. Well, if nobody has anything else, we'll be dismissed. And again, let's continue to remember these prayer requests that were brought up tonight. Remember the teens and the other adults that are there, as they're there the rest of this week and come back on Friday, and the other churches that are there as well.